How many of you know sometimes we go through stuff and we think, this is such a mess. And then we start to think things like, am I out of step with what God wants to do? Am I in God's will? Am I doing what God wants me to do? You know, sometimes we get to that place, don't we? We just kind of like... And so I want to talk to you today about knowing God's will. Knowing God's will. It's really important that we know God's will. And sometimes that seems really hard. What if I could make it easy for you? Or at least easier. I'm going to try to make it easier for you to know God's will today. So, we've all been in those situations. Sometimes we just like... So, I'm going to make it easy by giving you a particular scripture that you can memorize, that you can make your first base to go to, if you will, when you wonder, am I in God's will? Okay, so I'm going to direct you to that in a minute. In fact, start turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If I could give you one scripture that would help you know that you're in God's will, and you could like know where it is, you could memorize it, you could highlight it, you could be sure about it, you could apply it every time you had the question, would it be worth knowing that scripture pretty well? It's kind of funny because I've known this scripture for a long time, but it kind of jumped out to me this week. It was kind of like, you do this, but have you told others to do it? And I thought, I'm not sure. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, are you there? Say amen if you're there. Amen. Okay, some of you still were looking for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, if you have a Bible program and you can learn, a lot of them have the ability to highlight. So it'd be good for you to highlight this. If you have a Bible and you're just using plain old paper Bible, go ahead and get a pen and underline it, or get a highlighter sometime and highlight this, because this verse, I think, could really be useful in your arsenal of weapons when you're fighting against the enemy. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and go to verse 16. We're going to do three verses here. Rejoice always. Everybody say, rejoice always.
Rejoice always.
Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Now, here's the part that I want to read to you that you don't have to repeat. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I just told you what the will of God is all the time, 24/7, 365. The will of God for you is always. See, God's always got a will for you. The will of God is always. Rejoice all the time. The will of God is always pray without ceasing. The will of God is always give thanks in everything. That's always His will. Well, yeah, but I believe this passage is GPS, God's positioning system for you. It's how you get yourself in the right place to know God's will. We position ourselves with these three things, or can position ourselves with these three things in every situation that we run into. Now, most people will say they want clear directions from God, and usually what they mean is they want specific directions from God. They want to know exactly what to do. I just wish He would just come down and tell me exactly what to do. Well, I think God wants to come down and tell you exactly what to do. But sometimes you're not in the right position to hear from God exactly what to do. Not only you, me too. I'm not always listening to what God wants me to listen to, because sometimes I'm listening to other voices. Anybody besides me ever hear other voices? Yeah. And we live in a day when this is more prevalent than any day in history, because we have a 24/7 news cycle with people who have nothing to do but blah, 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 blah. And this guy over here will say blah, blah, but this guy over here will say blah, blah, because he doesn't want to sound like blah, blah. He wants to say blah, blah. So now we got a third person. They have to blah, blah. And they blah, 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 blah. They all got to say something different because they think that's the only way they can get an audience. And all they want to do is get an audience. They want your ears tuned to them because that's what they do. They try to get you to tune into them. And as a result, we're finding ourselves tuned into stuff. And then, you know, they have sponsors and they have people selling stuff. And then you're going down there. And there's all this information. We live in the information overload age, where we're constantly just getting inundated with stuff. It's really good to know what to think, but what is more important is how to think. How we think might actually be better than being told exactly what to think. Being told what we should do obligates us to comply. Being told how we should think allows us the freedom and the opportunity to participate in what we should do. Think about that. God doesn't want to just tell you what to do. By the way, this already happened once in history. They got to Sinai. God said, come up and hang out with me. And they said, no, 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 no. Just tell us what you want. Just tell us what to do. And God said, you want to know what to do, huh? Okay, and he gave them a list of commandments, and what did they do? Failed. They couldn't handle it. The what is not enough. The how is more important. What to think is not what we want to focus on. How to think will lead us to what we should do, and it'll feel right and natural and normal. Does this make sense to anybody but me? Are you tracking with me this morning? Okay. I want you to know that God's not looking for mindless robots. He does not need help doing anything that he wants to do. He could do it. God can speak it. It happens. New Lamborghini. Okay. How many of you know if God did that, there'd be, if God said, new Lamborghini, there'd be one sitting right here. Pretty cool, too. I wouldn't know how to get it out of the building, though. That would be stuck in here forever because the doors aren't big enough. So God is looking for willing participants who will participate in his divine nature. Peter talked about that in one of his letters. That's what I want to be. So how do we apply what this verse says? This verse in Thessalonians. I see three foundational things here that I believe, if applied, can help us to know what to do. And no matter what the situation, we can begin to apply these three things. So no matter what it looks like, no matter how complicated it is, no matter how insane it is, no matter how crazy it is, no matter how boring it is, no matter what, we can apply these things in the situation. Wonder what life would look like for us if we did. I can't say I've always done this, but I've known these verses for a long, long time, and they've been part of my MO. Just not really as, like, I want to start pulling them out now that I've seen this, and start weaponizing them. Realizing the next time I'm in a spot and I'm thinking, what in the world am I supposed to do? Well, these three things can be immediately applied. So, first, rejoice always. Rejoice always. This verse doesn't say feel joy. I want you to know that right up front. It doesn't say feel joy all the time. The word rejoice is actually more than that. You might feel joy when you're rejoicing, but you can also rejoice even when you don't feel joy, because rejoice is a demonstration, an action. Rejoicing is the outward manifestation of joy. Well, yeah, but you got to have it inside to do it outside. Do you? Do you? It's anything but hidden. It's demonstrative. We need to be people who demonstrate joy. Sometimes it's just a matter of smiling. Just a matter of walking into the store and reminding yourself, hey, smile. I can do that. They say that sometimes when you smile, it makes other people smile back. I practice that all the time. I try to smile really big at people. And it's funny, they will smile back. And then pretty soon we're both smiling. And then something does feel different because I started with a smile. They follow with a smile. Now we're both feeling pretty good. Still, one of my favorite things in the world is when the girl at the counter says, you know, did you find everything you needed? I love that one. You guys ought to make up your own. You can't have this one. This one's mine. But they'll say, did you find everything? And I'll say, ah, you're out of leprechaun traps. And they look at me and say, yeah, and the little buggers are down here stealing my gold from the bottom of my rainbow. What's that? Well, if I could get a better accent. But it's just so funny. They look at me like, and then they usually, and then I smile real big. And they smile back and they go, yeah, we'll have to get some of those in. Really, that's what they do most of the time. It's just they laugh. I just like making people giggle. Besides that, you know, they don't really mean it. How many of you know they're required to say that? Like that's part of their mantra. They're told as a checkout person, ask them if they found everything and then say, have a nice day. And you all know what I say when they say, have a nice day. I always say too late or unavoidable or any of those things. I like to just interact with people. And it's just fun. I'll come out of stores sometimes feeling just really great, even if they didn't have what I was looking for. I'm still feeling good because I had a conversation with someone or a connection with someone. Doesn't always work, but it works a lot. So he says, well, Pastor, you know, this idea of manifesting some kind of joy, I'm going through a tough time right now. It's pretty hard to rejoice. I get that. We've all been through tough times. Some of you have been through way tougher times than I've been through. I understand that. So let me give you another verse. James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What's the Bible saying there? It says sometimes what you're going through isn't going to bring you joy, but you can count it as joy. You can reckon it. You can decide, I'm going to count it as something that God is going to use for my life, for my good. And here's another thought. Hard times are the best times to make a sacrifice of praise, because it isn't a sacrifice when it's easy. Sometimes you're in a moment of your life that just really stinks. I get it. You're in a really, really bad time. That's a time when you can offer a level of praise and worship that you can't offer any other time. In those times, when you lift a hand of praise, when you manifest joy, as in, I'm going to thank you, I'm going to sing a song, I'm going to worship you, I'm going to honor you. When you do those things in that time, they have a value that's higher than any other time that you share them. Joy is easy when you feel like it. A real sacrifice is a big deal to God. Do you remember the story of the widow who had two mites? Jesus is standing where they're dropping off money. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, and he looked and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. By the way, Jesus either had really good eyesight, or he was cheating and using supernatural information, or he was standing pretty daggone close to where they were dropping the money in. You think about it. I think he was standing pretty close. He literally sees exactly how much money she's giving, and he saw how much the rich people gave. Do you think the rich people gave a lot? Oh, yeah. I bet they did. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all." Wow. "For these out of the abundance have put an offering in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." That's crazy amazing good, isn't it? Isn't that great? Crazy amazing good. God recognizes your sacrifice more than your abundance. And even if you give greatly out of your abundance, out of your sacrifice, there's something that's beyond anything you can do any other time. I'm not saying it's easy. I know it's not. It's hard. But it's also an opportunity to do more than any other opportunity you'll have. Now, I want to make sure you understand, by the way, I'm not talking about finances today. This isn't about you giving more. This is about you giving out of what you already have, and not financial, but out of your heart toward God. If you really believe, though, that you have nothing to rejoice over, I have yet another idea. You ready? We say rejoice always, no matter what, and then if you count it joy and take the action, and I'm telling all you that, well, maybe you're still like, I'm having such a hard time. All right, try Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. There you go. I don't have anything to rejoice over. Okay, here's a real quick way to do it. Most of you do this. Get online. Go to Facebook. Find somebody who just had a baby or just announced a baby. Is excited about a baby. Find somebody who says something nice. Chime in. They're having an anniversary. Chime in with them. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. Happy birthday. Somebody shares good news. That's awesome. Thank you. Bless you. There's so many things you can do. By the way, if you're not friends with Cord Earhart, you ought to be on Facebook. He posts something cool. Almost every day. I guess every day, but I don't always see it maybe. But he's always posting something positive. He's always, if you will, posting something positive that is a manifestation of showing God, rejoicing, giving to the Lord. We all know people who post a lot of good news. Some of it's fake, but nevertheless, it's, you know, some people celebrate everything. Look, a dandelion. It's so nice. Right in the middle of my grass. How cute it is. So, you can't maybe bring yourself to jump around and dance, but maybe you can let your fingers at least jump around with somebody who is. Isn't that a cool idea? You can at least begin to manifest some kind of joy and rejoice always. There's some way you can do it. I think it's the first step. If you can get it in your head, okay, I don't know what God's will is right now, but I'm going to start rejoicing. And it's going to create a momentum that's going to pull me in to joy and help me figure out what God's will is. So that joy momentum gets us into the atmosphere of heaven. And if we can get into the atmosphere of heaven, we're going to know what God wants us to do. Often, by the way, when I've preached on joy, I have mentioned an old song. Does anybody besides me and my wife, who I know would remember the song? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, Corey's over there thinking, oh, yeah, we used to sing that all the time at Marion, right? Yeah. You had a choreographed dance to it? Yeah? Did someone say show us? Yeah. If you want joy, you can sing for it. And we'd sing it over and over and over. All those back in the hippie days, that's what we did. We sang over and over and over. If you want joy, you can sing for it. If you want joy, you can sing for it. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. And then we would sing the next verse. If you want joy. And it was jump for it. If you want joy, shout for it. And we'd go, hallelujah or amen. Or some of them had actual something on the beat. I don't remember what it was. And if you want joy, you can dance for it. Yeah, remember that? Some people think you can't outwardly manifest, but I believe you can. And a lot of times when you try to outwardly manifest and you see what you're doing, you start laughing at yourself and that makes it even better. And that's a good thing. And by the way, I want to make one final point on this. God would not tell you to rejoice always if it were not possible. God is not suggesting something to you so he can watch you get frustrated, watch you get upset, watch you have a bad day because, well, I can't do that. Pastor Tim said, now I've got this verse in my head, rejoice always. I just can't. No. Yeah, I'm not the one who wrote it down. I'm not the one who gave it to Paul. Holy Spirit is. And Holy Spirit didn't give it so he could mess with you all week and you could just be angry that you want to do it, but you just can't. It's not possible. It is possible. Well, I don't want to be a fake. Well, no believer can be a fake if he's really a believer. Because we will never be in a position where we have nothing to rejoice about. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. Come on. Come on. Jesus lives in my heart. All hell may be breaking loose, but I'm still on my way to heaven, and Jesus still lives in my heart. I've met with the living God, and he knows me, and he knows my name, and he cares about me, and in all things, he's working for my good. And he has a plan for me, a plan for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. I have so many verses that if I start quoting the Bible verses of the promises of God, it will get to the point where it's hard not to rejoice. So here's the truth. We can rejoice always. Now the second verse. That was just part one of three verses. I'm going to be careful here. I don't want to go too long. And besides that, we're going to have a message on prayer coming up in the next month. Somebody's working on it. Aren't you, John? Now, he knows he is. He's working on it. I didn't hear what Jeremiah said, but I'm sure it was good because it made John laugh. Good, good, good. How are we supposed to pray without ceasing? All right. Pray without ceasing. Ooh, I know. I'll join a monastery. Well, I mean, monasteries, they pray all the time, right? And what the monks, they set themselves aside to do nothing but pray. And that's all they do all the time. They pray all the time. If you were a monk, you could pray all the time. That's what God wants. We'll just all set ourselves aside like a bunch of monks and we'll pray all the time. We'll pray without ceasing. That's what it means. Pray all the time. As is my habit, I was recently listening to a Bethel podcast kind of a thing. And Benny Johnson was actually talking. Benny said something that caught my attention and kind of made me laugh. And what she said was that she talks a lot out loud, if you will, talks to herself. Yeah, we got good music going off in the back. It'll stop in a minute. Some of you know that Benny is the happy intercessor. Yeah, it was you. Got a revelation in the back. I kind of knew it had to be you because it was such a holy alarm, holy ring. Because I recognize the song. Well, not I recognize it as worship. Anyway, so Benny Johnson's written the book, The Happy Intercessor. And obviously, if you've written a book about prayer, you're probably a person who prays a lot, right? That makes sense. So I know she sets a lot of time aside for prayer. And by the way, they've got that prayer house in Reading. If you ever get to go, there's a prayer house just outside their main sanctuary. And it's really cool. And I've been in there and spent time in prayer in there. A lot of people do. But she's not there all the time. She's not. And she's not a monk. Ask Bill. But she does pray a lot, and she was talking on the subject of prayer, and she was saying that she talks to herself, but that her self-talk stopped being self-talk at some point. That she found that as she would talk to herself, that she just got to the point where it was just her, and she's talking, and then she's talking to God. I was always a kid who talked to himself. I always wanted intelligent conversation, and I found that was one way I could have it. But, yeah, I know, it's a groaner. But I when I was a young man, I started doing that where instead of just talking to myself, I would find myself talking out loud, processing things, and I would include the Lord. And it just became a regular part of my life to the point where that's how I pray probably more today than even just set aside prayer sessions. I'm not saying don't set aside times for prayer. Don't misunderstand me. It's good to set aside times for prayer. But it's also good to be praying without ceasing, praying all the time. And I'll just be going down the road and I'll be talking to God and I'll be saying, you know, okay, this just happened and I'm thinking it through and I'm talking to God and I'm talking a little bit to me. But what happens is then God talks to me while I'm talking to me and talking to God. We get this conversation thing going and I find myself laughing out loud because it becomes really interesting, some of the things that I hear from God. I don't know how many years exactly this happened, but I know I probably shared it at least once. I was on my way back from Fort Wayne, I think is when it was, one day, and I'm going down the road, and some things aren't going exactly the way I thought they should. I didn't think I was exactly in God's will on something. And I was kind of like, you know, and I'm just processing it through and thinking about it. And I just said, Lord, I just thank you that you love me when I'm stupid. And the Lord immediately responded, I have to love you when you're stupid, otherwise I'd never get to love you. And it's true. It is true. Because we all have a lot of stupid going on. We think we know what we know, but sometimes we just think we know and really don't know. And he was just messing with me. God knows I love sarcasm. I was laughing so hard when he said that to me. I was like, yeah, it's kind of true, isn't it? I do a lot of dumb stuff. And, you know, here's the reality. The word stupid, in case you didn't know this, isn't as bad as we've made it today. In the modern vernacular, yes. Don't call stupid people stupid. No, don't call people stupid. But it used to just be a word for ignorant, unaware of something. How many of you know I'm still unaware of a lot of stuff? Like, right now in this room, there's a lot going on, and we're not all aware of everything that's going on right now. And each of you has got your own little thing going on right now that you may or may not be aware of, and the rest of us, we don't know what God may be speaking to you, and I may be thinking I'm preaching one thing, and you may be hearing something completely different by the Spirit because he's getting down to your nitty-gritty and taking care of what it needs taken care of. Because he can do that by the Spirit. Pray without ceasing is simply the idea of letting God be in on the conversation of your life. Be in on the conversation of your life. Maybe you're one of those people who sits and you're very contemplative. There we go. Contemplative. Thank you, John. Maybe you're very contemplative and you don't think out loud. You don't process that way, but you sit and you ruminate. You think. You need to get God in the middle of that. I think out loud, and now God and I have been doing this for so many years that almost all the time, God and I have conversations. I'm just walking around the church today before everybody got here, trying to make sure little details are taken care of, making sure the doors are open, making sure there's coffee out front, making sure there's different things. I'm just wandering around, and I was talking to God and thinking about stuff and asking God if there was anything I was forgetting. And he's really good about helping me with those things. The third part of this trilogy in this set of verses here is, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. We all know that, as I mentioned earlier, in all things God is working. So in every situation I can be thankful because I know God's up to something, even if I don't have a clue what to do. And once I get myself in that place where I'm recognizing and I'm thankful that God is up to something, even though I'm clueless, I'm also putting myself in a place where his godly positioning system, this verse, can start to come alive, and I start to thank God, and I start to say, thank you, God, I know you got this. I know you got this figured out. You all know that I preach a lot on Thanksgiving. Year before last, I did a 4-part series leading up to Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. And I think it's a big deal. I've wondered if I should write a book on Thanksgiving, because I believe Thanksgiving can be just such an atmosphere shifter, such a life changer. And by the way, complaining is worship in reverse, and Thanksgiving is worship in hyperdrive. So if you find yourself complaining, realize that you're on the wrong track and you're actually distracting, decomposing, making a mess. And what you really need to do is flip it and go after Thanksgiving and start finding every way you can to say thank you to the God who has done so much for all of us. And as we do that, something starts to shift. You're not going to get where you want to go pointing out all the problems around you in a complaining fashion that doesn't solve those problems anyway. But finding things to be thankful for and showing appreciation, that'll get people's attention. And then it will usher in God's clarity for his will in our lives. And then those who don't know him yet will see us reacting differently, and it will make them aware that there is a God and something is up. I think when we choose these foundational things, we establish God in every situation. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Bring God into the conversation. And give thanks. I think we can move with confidence, knowing we are already in his will, even if we don't know the details of his will. Let me say that again. I believe we can move in confidence, knowing that we are in his will, even if we don't yet know the details of his will. In other words, I don't know what to do with this situation. All right, where's my Bible? Where's that verse? I underlined it. Flip, 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 flip. There it is. I don't know what to do. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me right now. This is the right now will of God for me. What is the right now will of God for me? No matter what I get, whether I understand or I don't understand, no matter what, rejoice. That's God's will for me. Pray. That's God's will for me. Be thankful. That's God's will for me. I may not understand the chaos that's going on around me, but these three things are God's will for me in Christ Jesus. Wow. Now, I do want to remind you of one more verse then. Philippians 4, actually 2 verses, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are times again, we will not know exactly what to do. And we can begin to apply these three things from Thessalonians, and it will begin to change the situation. The atmosphere will be in a place where it can become obvious what to do. That's what God wants to do. He wants to get us in the place where it becomes obvious what to do. I don't know what to do. This is making me nuts. Here's the one thing that you do need to understand, though. If you will do these things, I'm not saying you will instantly understand. If you understand what to do, eventually you will understand what to do. Does that make sense? If you understand, I'm going to start with these three things. This is, okay, I need an anchor. I need something in the midst of this storm. I'm going to throw out these three things and I'm going to lock down. Now, stuff's going to change. But I might not understand instantly. Oh, I said, hallelujah. And then I said, help me, Jesus. And then I said, thank you. And I think I'm going to have it all figured out in three quick sentences. Well, maybe I'm going to have to do one little thing with that. If I want the peace that passes understanding, you know, the peace that Jesus had when he was in the front of the boat in the middle of the storm, where they had to wake him up just to tell him they were drowning, and he didn't care because he had peace. If I want to get that kind of peace, I do have to be willing to give up my understanding. You can't have the peace that passes understanding if you're still hanging on to your understanding. So a lot of times, I've run into this over the years, counseling people in church. I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going on here. Somebody, I'm gonna understand this. Somebody's got some explaining to do. I gotta figure this out. And they're so focused on understanding everything that they skip everything that they ought to be doing, because they're so focused on understanding it and they don't have any peace. Well, you can't get it sometimes until you're willing to give it up. Okay. Father, this doesn't make any sense to me. Whew. But I'm going to rejoice that it makes sense to you. That I'm your son, that I'm your child. Thank you, Jesus. I'm yours. And I'm just going to continue to talk with you, and I'm going to continue to have you in on the conversation. I know you'll show me what to say and how to think and what to do. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And I start talking like that, and I start acting like that, and I start saying, I don't care if I get it or not. You get it. By the way, if any of you are like me, you've had these things happen in your life where you didn't get it, and then a couple days later, you got it. Like, oh, yeah, that's why it happened that way. Oh, that was way better than what I would have done, Lord. Yeah, we've all had that happen. So, one more stupid song. Because I was talking earlier, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we would sing that same line four times. And then we would sing, if you want joy, you can dance for it. And then we had all these different versions. Dance for it, jump for it, shout for it. I told you that earlier. We had another verse like that that we sang when I was a kid. The Jesus people had lots of verses like that. But you know what the crazy thing was? We memorized a lot of scripture like that. Do any of you remember? Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We used to sing that. And then the second verse was, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this. And John's like, oh man, I'm so glad I wasn't a Jesus freak. You guys were nuts. Talk about boring songs, four times through everything, and then we sang all three verses. What's that? Tambourine. With a tambourine, yeah, with a tambourine. Exactly. Did you guys sing that one too? Didn't sing that one? The Jesus freak sang that one. Yeah. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. If you, I've been stuck in my head now. I'm ruined for life, in a good way. In a good way. Because if I want to remember Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, I just sing that song. It's real easy. And it's amazing to me that we weren't like bored out of our skulls. Because it was, you know, Not a lot of words there. But you know, the interesting thing was, it was the word there. It was the word of God. And it's inside of me now. So I encourage you, try to get this one memorized. Like, build a superhighway, 6 lanes to this verse. Have this verse where you can find it easy. Next time you think, I don't know what to do. What is your will, God? When you find yourself looking for the will of God, go here. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. And say, okay, I'm going to rejoice. You know, you're out on the side of the road, the tire's flat, you don't have any way of changing it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yay, God! Somebody will stop. Probably just to put you in a white jacket, but nevertheless, you know, it'll be awesome. And I believe that you can do it and that God will help you do it. Amen? All right, good.